Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you. Owen Verghese writes, "Much ink has been spilled in making confident prophecies and calculations and formulas conjured up from events and personalities in the prophetic scriptures and in history, probably to sell books to gullible readers. Inevitably, the dates have gone by, leading to revised theories, only to come to grief and disillusionment that comes from disappointed hope in the unwarranted predictions. We must be careful not to read in Scripture something which isn't there at all. Jesus said he did not know the date of his second coming. We can be sure nobody else does." Amen? So we're talking about end times once again. What a wonderful thing. Amen? "At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, or God, encompasses everyone and everything. It is big. The kingdom comes in the person of Jesus Christ to all who accept him. The key is to see with kingdom eyes and not with the eyes of this world. When Christ returns, everyone will see and realize his reign. They'll realize his kingdom, some to their damnation and others to their salvation. Matthew Henry writes, "It was a custom sometime used among the Jews on that occasion that the bridegroom came attended with his friends late in the night to the house of the bride where she expected him, attended with her bridesmaids, who, upon notice given of the bridegroom's approach, were to go out with lamps in their hands to light him into the house with ceremony and formality, in order to the celebrating of the nuptials with great mirth. And some think that on these occasions they had usually 10 virgins, for the Jews never held a synagogue, circumcised, kept the Passover, or contracted a marriage, but 10 persons at least were present. Boaz, when he married Ruth, had 10 witnesses. And I got a picture up here. I'm getting fancy now. And I got a new toy. See, they got their lambs. These are the 5 good ones, all right? There's the other ones trying to buy oil, but we're going to get to them later. That's a cool little thing, huh? All right. Get that arrow out of here. All right. All right. No. Get your own toy to play with. Okay. He'd say, "Get your own." Okay. I'm coming to that, too. All right. There you go. It doesn't look good for you two, huh? Okay. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. And I got a picture of a lamp here. Next one, please. Teal. Next one, please. There you go. That's what the lamps look like, okay? So in this parable, who's the bridegroom? It's Jesus, right? Who's the bride? It's the church. It's you and me, okay? The virgins and the lamp, that's us, okay? And the oil is the Holy Spirit, okay? Regards to the oil and the Holy Spirit, the oil, as Ray Steadman points out, is the Holy Spirit. With these revealing words from the Lord, we can now discover what the oil signifies. Obviously, it was the lack of an adequate supply of oil which caused these foolish maidens to be met with the words, "I do not know you." They did, of course, have some oil when they began, but it was not enough. Oil in the Old Testament is frequently used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Kings and priests were anointed with oil as a sign of their consecrated and supposedly Spirit-filled lives. Zechariah the prophet was shown a vision of a great golden lampstand with 2 olive trees standing beside it. The trees dripped oil into the bowls of the lampstand, and Zechariah was told, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The oil symbolized the Spirit of God by which the light of testimony could be maintained in the hour of darkness. Amen, Ryan. Okay? So we are children of light, okay? The Word of God fills us with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is light, and they who receive it must not only be enlightened by it themselves, but we must shine our lives also so that others can see. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen? And we were talking this Wednesday about one of our members who affirmed their faith last week, and the difference, the physical difference, we noticed in her. There was no light in her eyes before. Now there's light, okay? And same with some of my friends here. There was no light in your eyes before. Now there's light, and that's the Holy Spirit, okay? So the question is, do we have the light of the Holy Spirit guiding our lives? Are we living lives our way without the Holy Spirit? Exactly. Not too good. As Austin Powers, that great theologian, would say, just shine, baby, okay? That's my best British accent, all right? You guys can practice yours after worship, okay? Just shine, baby. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. These are some actual performance reports from the British Navy when they interview their officers. One supervisor wrote, "This candidate works well under constant supervision and when cornered like a rat in a trap." Another wrote, "This candidate has delusions of adequacy. She sets low personal standards and then consistently fails to achieve them." Now, obviously, this wouldn't work in the British Navy, right? But it doesn't work in the Church of Christ either, okay? Jesus is looking for us to step up. Alan Quake says, "The important point is that we don't get caught up in the routine of the world and forget that things are not always going to continue as they are. We don't often think about it in these terms, but our lives are really temporary. Life as we know it is not the ultimate goal. It is merely part of the journey. And we will have responsibilities. And we keep following our routines. And we do what needs to be done. But we have to keep it all in context. There is a new day which is coming. A day when Jesus will announce to the whole world that He is Lord. So have a life routine, but in the middle of it, don't forget who we serve." It's been 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. Why is it taking so long for Him to return? So more souls can be saved, because God does not want anyone to perish. John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." 1 Timothy chapter 2, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus." Amen? God is love, and He doesn't want anyone to perish. And He may take another 2,000 years, because He wants to include more people. And you think about this, how big is heaven? He wants heaven to be full, right? You think in 2,000 years He could fill heaven? I don't know, you know. Which means that the good news is there's room for us, amen? And there's room for us to bring people with us, amen? The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." So Perry and Danny, go buy your own lights, okay? And there's a, isn't this a great picture? I love this. Let me get my little pointer here. See, they're in the light. Notice they're in the darkness, okay? And there's, I think Perry and Danny are back there, okay? They don't have the little pointer. Okay. Oh yeah, I wasn't planning on you guys being a sermon illustration. So thank you so much. Okay. The day is coming when carnal hypocrites would gladly be found in the condition. Let me first say, each person must prepare for themselves for the kingdom. our parents or our grandparents or our friends can't transfer it to us. Our church can't supply it. It's found only in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's for each individual. The day is coming when cardinal hypocrites would gladly be found in the condition of true Christians. Those who now hate the strictness of religion will at death and judgment wish for the solid comforts of it. Those who care not to live the life yet would die the death of the righteous. The day is coming when those who now look with contempt upon humble, contrite saints would gladly give an interest in them and would value those as their best friends and benefactors whom now they set with the dogs of their flock. It comes too late. God would have given them oil had they asked in time. But there is no buying when the market is over. No bidding when time has run out. And that's for each and every one of us. But do people think about that in the world today? No. It reminds me of a story. There were three construction workers in New York City working on a skyscraper, and they'd take their lunch and they'd sit on a metal beam 100 stories up and eat their lunch. So Sean got his lunch, and it was corned beef and cabbage. And Sean said, every day, corned beef and cabbage. He said, if I get corned beef and cabbage one more day, I'm going to kill myself. Well, Juan was sitting next to him, and Juan opens his lunch, and there's a burrito. And Juan says, a burrito. Every day I get a burrito. If I get a burrito one more time, I'm going to kill myself. Then Billy's there. Billy has a bologna sandwich, and he says, bologna. He said, every day I get a bologna sandwich. He said, if I get another bologna sandwich, I'm going to kill myself. Well, the next day, John opens his lunch, and it's corned beef and cabbage. So he jumps off the building and kills himself. Then Juan opens his lunch, and there's a burrito. So he jumps off the building and kills himself. Then Billy gets a bologna sandwich. So he jumps off the building and kills himself. So at the funeral, as they're preaching, all of a sudden, Sean's wife comes up. And she says, I'm so sorry. If I only would have known that he didn't like corned beef and cabbage, I wouldn't have kept packing it for him. And then Juan's wife gets up and says, I'm so sorry, I just gave him burritos. If I would have known that, I could have given him tacos or enchiladas or something. And then everybody's waiting. And they're waiting for Billy's wife. And she says, don't look at me, he packed his own lunch. Well, brothers and sisters, in regards to eternity, we all pack our own lunch, right? We all pack our own lunch, and we need to have the Holy Spirit. But while they were on their way to yesterday, the guys in the jail cracked up, and there was one guy in the front row. He wouldn't stop laughing, remember? I couldn't start preaching because he was rolling over. I don't know. Maybe he gets bologna in the sandwiches. I don't know. But they all, yeah. Great. Peanut butter only, okay. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Bob Yulee says, the term know was used in the Old Testament sense of intimate personal relationship. Christianity combines the Hebrew sense, personal relationship, and the Greek sense of information. The gospel is a person, a lifestyle, and a message. And it's all about relationships. It's not about religion. Amen? And go ahead and show the next picture. And before I get into this more and continue, yesterday we had support group. And since we've had support group, and I've been talking with Hector. Man, this guy gives me great sermon illustrations, okay? But do you want to come up and say what you talked about with the Holy Spirit, or you want me to say it? Okay. Hector was talking about, you know, he used to hear about having the Holy Spirit and what it was like and stuff, and he just didn't get it, you know, what life was like with the Holy Spirit. And he said, now that I got it, I understand. He said, it's a different way to live. He said, I don't get stressed out. I'm not as angry as I used to be. I don't fly off the handle. And he gave an example. He said a couple weeks ago, he was working on a garage door because that's what he does, and he slid his thumb open and had to get 3 stitches. He said, in the old days, I would have been throwing hammers and tools and swearing and cussing. He said, I just went in and got stitches. That's the difference life in the Spirit makes, right? We get the breath of God and just calms, pulls everything down and calms things down. Amen? We have a picture of the five ladies who didn't have their thing. I really kind of like the old art, in case you haven't noticed, okay? You won't see too many abstracts with me. Spurgeon writes, "Too late, so that they could not enter. I never knew you," says Christ in another place. And this knowledge of His is always bound up with affection. He loves no heart that He knows not in this sense. Those whom He knows, He loves. Those whom He knows, He loves. Will He never say to me or to you, "Dear friend, I know you not"? God grant that He never may have cause to do so. But the foolish virgins, those who have despised the secret stores of oil, those who have never gone to the Divine Spirit for His matchless grace, were separated from their wiser companion. Not indeed by any special act of the bridegroom, but as the natural result of their own unprepared condition. They came up to the gate of the palace and found the door fast closed against them, shut forever, and learned that they must abide in the outer darkness, to weep and lament that they were not found worthy to behold the bridegroom's face or to enter into His joy. Revelation 19:6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." And then I got a great picture up here. That's the wedding feast of the Lamb, right? And I gotta put my little thing. Oh, I lost it. I must have given it. All right. You can lose the Spirit also, okay? But I got so many tools I'm going to be writing also, okay? But the point is this. Who's the bride? Who's the bride? It's us, right? The bride is us. Here it is. So this is you and me, okay? And there's Jesus Christ, and He's waiting for us. And all the saints and angels are around. Well, the angels primarily, because we are the saints. We are the bride of Christ. And dressed in white, that means that our sins are forgiven. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And that's what's going to happen at the end of time. The church will come to Christ. Amen? See, I did find it. All right. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This truth is the purpose of this parable, okay? The date of the second coming is sure, but nobody knows it. Believers are to stay active and ready for Jesus, certain that He will return. The French chemist Louis Pasteur once wrote, "Chance favors those who are prepared." And I got another picture up here. I think I got another picture. This is a little more modern, but you see people from every generation, okay? And those who were prepared, who had the Spirit and had a relationship with Christ, versus those who didn't. And this is over 2,000 years, obviously. People change. But ultimately, it doesn't change. Eternity is always like this. You have the saints who live in a relationship with Christ, and that relationship continues forever. And you have those who have turned away from Christ during this life, and they're turned away in eternity. And there's no joining the two together, right? And you won't see this on the 6 o'clock news, all right? But we're all going to face eternity, all right? I didn't make this up. These are the words of Jesus, okay? What's that? Yeah. You cannot depend on a Sunday morning service to provide all your spiritual needs. Strength in the Lord comes through routine attention to ordinary spiritual disciplines. You may make it for the long haul by taking time for prayer and being alone with God, reading God's Word, acts of service to others, and loving obedience. It's you making sure you have enough oil, the spiritual fuel of life. In other words, Spiritual preparation and growth is a result of intentionally building Christian habits into our lives. So we have a choice, right? What we do. And we choose to be here on Sundays, and that's part of it. But I decided I wanted to write today. So there's four main things, okay, that we need to do in order to prepare. And I'll actually put five, okay? But,
well, Mike,
is that better?
Awesome. Is that better?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Guys, that's how you answer your wife, okay?
So what are the five things we can do to keep oil in our lamp?
The Bible. The Word of God. Okay. The top two. The Word. Be in the Word how many minutes a day?
15
minutes a day. If you need a Bible, take one. We got them here. Okay? Prayer. Very powerful. Prayer changes things, right? Amen. And we tell the guys when we hand out the prayer requests in the jails, these things work. There's power in it. Okay? What else can we do? Spread the word. That would come down here under, I'm going to put it under service. Okay? I guess it would be service and witness. Okay? All right? How else do we keep oil in our lamps? Worship. Yes. Okay? I'll put that here. All right? Worship. And I really didn't want to put that next. I wanted to put the number four there. What? Fellowship. Very good. Community. All right? Have you guys ever heard that before? Community? How many times do we tell you guys? Does it work? It works, right? Community works. We need each other. Okay? As iron sharpens iron, we need each other. All right? Amen? And Kathy, I know you can relate to that, and Shannon, and Sharon, with Annette or Shield if we can, but we need the community of believers, all right? And even pastors, okay? It's so much easier for me to do a jail service when Hector's there, okay? And I know my Spanish is perfect, but he really helps, okay? But he comes with some really... it's like in the last couple of weeks, he's given me sermon illustrations. I guess I should probably pay you for that. But anyway... You gotta get your own pointer. Your own oil for your lamp. Somebody told me that, Hector. Okay. So, but there's the invitation, okay, to the feast that has no end. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And at the great feast, Earl, you and I can drink wine again, okay? All right. And we won't get drunk, all right? But we'll be right at the great feast, all right? It's good stuff, huh? Amen? And that's what we look forward to, right? Yes. I can't see it. Okay. Oh, it's RSVP. You are invited to the feast or something. I don't know. Can you see it on the... can you see it there, Seal? It's usually clearer there. No? Okay. Is Danny going to straighten it out? No, she's just leaving, okay? All right. She's had enough, okay? Something about being invited to the feast, RSVP. Yeah, you're invited to a feast with Jesus Christ, okay? Just look at the picture, okay? See, there's a hand, and there's another hand. There's the Father, the Son sitting at the head of the table. The Son is the Holy Spirit, okay? And right there, there's a guy back there saying, pass the bacon, okay? Ed Shirley, you can eat bacon in heaven, okay? All right? So, what's that? We do in heaven, new covenant, okay? I'm under a new covenant. And the giant sheep came from heaven. And the Lord said, don't call unclean what I call clean. Come and eat. Amen? But getting back to the message, though, we need to have the Holy Spirit, okay? And if you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit like I described with Hector, I'd encourage you, we're going to have a word of prayer. Pastor will lead us in it. To receive the Holy Spirit and know the presence of Christ, because He changes everything. When you have the presence of Christ, He changes everything, you know. No, I have no desire for alcohol anymore. Neither does Earl, except on occasion. Okay, but or drugs. Many people in recovery here have no desire. That's not us. That's the Spirit of God living in us. Okay, and you have that voice in the back that just says, "No, don't do that. Just don't do that." And if you need a community, we have a support group for the men on Saturdays. We're gonna if the women want to start one, just let me know. Pastor Robin and I will work to try to get a women's support group. We're anxious to get that going. Amen? All righty.